Now we're going to do the talk this morning, the Bible talk, in three parts, just to warn you, so that you're ready for it. And we're going to think this morning about messy, risky mission. And we're going to think about it looking at two bits of the Bible, Acts chapter 17 and 2 Timothy 4. Now your problem is, what are you missing? What have you not got on you? You haven't got Bibles with you, have you? So you're not going to be able to look it up. So, Denise, thank you very much. If you'd be happy to grab a few Bibles, if anyone else is willing to help there, that would be great. So we need some Bibles down the front here, because otherwise you guys can't look in the Bible to see what God's telling us. So that's great. Thank you, Denise. Brilliant. Thank you. Well done. Almost there. And you guys, maybe, yeah, you share maybe over there? That would be great. Okay, now I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Oh, I'll tell you what, you've started looking it up. Why don't we look it up? Look up Acts chapter 17, because that's where we're going to begin. Acts 17, which is page 1113. You got it? Great. Well done. Brilliant. Adults, you don't have to go woohoo when you've found it. But you can if you want. Well done. Thank you, Bev. Well done, Denise. Great. Page 1113. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us as we turn to his word. So once you've found it, just keep it open in front of you. You might want to put it down on the floor in front of you. And we're going to bow our heads and pray. All right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you teach us now. And as we think about our mission as a church, please would you excite us with it. Help us to know what's our responsibility and what isn't. Father, teach us now, we pray, as we look at your word together. Amen. So we're thinking about our mission. We as a church, we're on a mission. We've got a job to do. God's given us a task. Now, that is great news, and that is exciting news. Now, we at Emmanuel Church, we have sort of summarized it by saying our mission, our aim, is for people to come to Jesus, grow in him, and go out to serve him. That's our mission, we think. That's what the Bible tells us that we need to do. Now, the way that we're trying to do that, one of the things that we're doing, as most of us know, is that we're going to be launching Emmanuel at 4, as well as having the 10:30 service. So we're going to have two services, both really important, both exciting, and both ways that we're trying to achieve this mission of getting people coming to Jesus, growing in him, and going out to serve him. Now, we're launching that service on the 20th, so that's in 2 weeks' time. I wonder if you can imagine what the headlines on the newspapers might be the following week after we've launched Emmanuel at 4. Maybe there could be a headline which might be something like this. Riots on the streets of Berrylands. Riots on the streets of Berrylands. Because of our 10:30 service, and maybe because of our four o'clock service as well. We're going to see a time in the Bible where that's exactly what happened. Paul started up a church and there were riots. We'll see that in a bit. Could that be what will happen in 3 weeks' time? Well, might happen. You might think probably not. Or this headline. This other headline, revival on the streets of Berrylands. What's revival? Revival is when, well, it's a period where lots of people become Christians. It happens around the world and at various times that God just does something, where people on the streets suddenly say, actually, I need to know how to be saved. I need to become a Christian. And maybe in a couple of weeks' time, we'll see hundreds of people wanting to become Christians. So which could it be? Riots or revival? Well, I know which one I'm praying for. But which is it likely to be? And a question comes out of this then, is this. What does a successful church look like? Is a successful church the one where the revival hits? Is a successful church the one where the riot hits? What's a successful church? What have we got to do? Because if we don't know what success is, we won't know whether we're doing it. So we're going to have a think about that. And we're going to think about that by looking at three cities Paul visited in Acts 17. We're going to look at three cities Paul visited. But before you look at Acts 17, I've got some actions that I need you to help me with. Grown-ups, you can join in with this if you want to. I'd love you to. If for any reason you feel you can't do them, then don't join in. But if you can join in, that'd be great. And children, you need to join in with this as well. Okay, so just pop the Bible down in front of you, okay, so that you can do these actions. First action is this: preach with the word, not just the action, with the word. Preach. Because it's like you've got your Bible in front of you there and you're kind of preaching, you're doing some kind of... Thank you very much. Okay, so after three, one, two, three, preach. Next one, thank you, grown-ups, you're doing brilliantly. Next one, we're going to do in a kind of muted way, but it's rioted. Whoa! All right, so we're not actually going to do a riot. Okay, so can we do that after three? One, two, three. Rioted! Okay, thank you, but keep it brief, all right? Lovely. So first one was?
Preach.
Second one was?
Rioted!
Yeah, they look uglier than you guys do on that. Okay, third one is going to be investigated. And if you could do it in that kind of slightly intrigued sort of way, that would be really good. No, 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 we're doing investigated, and we're doing it because... they investigated the Bible. So we do it like that. Investigate it. So can we do that after three? One, two, three.
Investigate.
Lovely. Very good. And then for the next one, we've got to kind of split a little bit. We've got two actions to do. We've got sneered. Now, I thought of sneered as being that kind of thing. Where are you going with sneered? What kind of action would you do for sneered? That's a good sneering face. Adults, what sneering face would you do? Some of you are looking very happy. Is that the way you... If that's the way you sneer, that changes the way that I think about you when you leave church, if you smile at me. Now I know you're sneering. Okay, so let's try... That's good sneering face, Pips. That's really good. Okay, okay. So after three, let's do sneering face. So just do sneering face. I'm maybe saying sneered, okay, as well. So after three, one, two, three, sneer. Don't know what I'm doing there. Anyway, and but we've also got to mix that in with some going... tell me more. Okay, so we've got to have that one as well. So can you do that one? So after three, one, two, three. Tell me more. Very nice. Okay, but on that one, for sneered and tell me more, we need to kind of split a bit. So can we split down the middle there? You guys in the middle, you can decide whether you want to sneer or tell me more. This side, could you do sneering? And this side, could you do tell me more? Okay, so after three, are you ready? Sneering, tell me more. All together, ready? One, two, three. That was good. Liked it. Okay, so let's work our way through all those actions. First one was?
Three.
Second one?
Three.
Third one?
Three.
And fourth one?
Three.
Nice. Okay. And that summarizes Acts chapter 17, but we better just check it, all right? So let's have a look. Acts chapter 17, Paul goes to three cities. The first city that he goes to is Thessalonica. Thank you very much for joining in with that. That wasn't a liturgical bit, but thank you. Okay, so have a look. Acts chapter 17. First place he visited is Thessalonica. Have a look. See, what does Paul do? You're going to have to look at verse 2 and 3. What does Paul do in Thessalonica? Have a look. Grown-ups, have a look as well. What does he do? Hang on. I just want to wait for others to have read it as well. Well done. Okay, someone got it? Ollie. I'm going with that one. Ken, are you on? You on that one?
He went into the synagogue.
He went into the synagogue, that's right. And what did he do there? Well done. No, you're right, he did. That's the first part of the answer. What did he do, Sam?
He proved the reasons of Jesus.
Absolutely. So he reasoned with them from the scriptures, and he spoke about Jesus, didn't he? Now, a way of summarising that is to say that he... preached, exactly. So, first thing we've got, Paul, ready after three? Paul, no, not after three, after I say Paul. Paul,
preached.
Excellent, thank you very much. Now, what did the Thessalonians do? Okay, now for that, you're going to have to look a little bit further down. So, Let me just give you give some away. So verse 4, some of them became Christians. Some of them believed. But have a little look further down. Verse 5, what happened there? You guys have got it? Have you got it? Max. Okay.
The Jews were jealous.
The Jews were jealous. Yes, absolutely. So they were jealous. And then what did they do? Brilliant. Can you say Tobes? You're volunteering someone else. Yeah, Shannon.
They rounded up bad people.
They rounded up bad people, yeah.
Old characters.
Hey, come on, we're teams.
Don't shout out.
So they rounded up some bad people.
Yes, that's what Shannon said. Well done. And they had a... riot. Thank you very much. Now, don't forget, just a little clue. Some of the answers are in the actions we learned earlier. All right, so, sit up. So, Paul. The Thessalonians. The Thessalonians rioted. Which is an interesting reaction to a preaching, isn't it? To preaching a message about Jesus, and the people rioted. There were riots in the streets. Now, before we look at the next place, which you can see is Berea. Okay, boys and girls, I need you back down the front here to help me with our actions and to look things up in your Bibles. So, if you come back down. That's it. So you need to look up in your Bibles. So you need to be back in Acts, Acts 17. Now, just as a reminder for me, because we've looked at one of the cities Paul visited, we've got two to go. So, as a reminder to me, let's do some our actions. So, in Thessalonica, Paul... Oh, a bit lackluster, wasn't it? Paul... Thank you. The Thessalonians... You know what? The adults did better than the children on that one. Let's... Oh, you're finding the place. Oh, okay, that's fair enough. Okay, the second city, it's page 1113, if you're not sure. Okay, the second city that Paul visited was Berea. Now, let's have a look, see what Paul did in Berea. So, verse 10, what did Paul do? It doesn't tell you a huge amount about what he did, but what does it say he did? Oh, you're still finding the page. Let me help you. Okay, you're going the wrong way. This way.
I can find it from here.
Sorry. 17. Keep going. That's it. Okay, what did Paul do in Berea? Claire? Preached, he did. He went to the synagogue, and we take it that that sort of means he did what he did in Thessalonica. When it just says he went to the synagogue, he didn't just sit there. But he actually preached and taught and reasoned with them and that sort of thing. So absolutely, in Berea? Paul? Thank you. What did the Bereans do? Have a look. Further down, verse 11, what did they do? They were a more noble bunch, but why? What did they do? Shh, James, you're going to have to look. Someone else, someone who hasn't answered. Someone who hasn't answered. So hands down. You're doing really well, I'm glad you found it. Someone else, what did the Bereans do? Let's have a grown-up on this one. What did they do? I don't know why I'm pointing it at you. It's never going to pick you up. But anyway, what did they do? Investigated. Exactly. They searched the Bible. They decided, Paul, we're not just going to take your word for it. We're going to look in the Bible and see what it says. So could we have a hand with that action? So we've got in Berea, Paul. The Bereans investigated. Exactly. So let's go for Thessalonica first. So in Thessalonica, Paul
preached.
The people
preached.
In Berea, Paul
preached.
The people. Excellent. Thank you. And last one. We're going for the place. The last place is Athens. Now, what did Paul do in Athens? So you're going to have another look. Verse 16 and 17. What did Paul do? Verse 16 and 17. Particularly verse 17, probably. What did Paul do? It's not going to be a surprise what he did. What do you reckon, Michael and Joseph? Do you know? Go on then. Can you shout it? Can you shout? I'll go with the mic for you.
Preached.
Preached. That's right. He preached again, didn't he? So it says there, he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as those in the marketplace. So he went all over the place and he preached. So again, in Athens, Paul
preached.
Thank you. And what did the people... Well, now, we get a whole load more information about what Paul said. So it says what he said a bit more than it does in the other places. And we see there that he does speak about Jesus. And what does he say about Jesus? You're going to have to turn the page. Okay, turn the page. 1114. Sam, have a look. Thank you. And Tobes. Tobes, could you stop? Okay, page 1114. Now have a look at verse 30. This is something that Paul said. Verse 30, so you're halfway through the second paragraph. Have a look. Verse 30, have a look. It says, In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. So he's saying Jesus is going to come back as judge, to judge all people, to judge the world. And we know he's going to do that because he rose from the dead. So Paul is saying Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King. He is the one who's going to come back, and we need to turn to him now while there's time. We need to repent. Stop living our own way, start living for Jesus. That's what Paul preached. How did the people respond? Verse 32, have a look. Have a look. What, verse 32, what did they do? Are you looking, Max? You need a Bible to look at. You could share it behind you if you want. What did they do? What did the people do? Lost my mic. No, they didn't do that. I'm sure they didn't do that.
Some of them sneered.
Some of them sneered. And others... In verse 32. Sorry, someone said it. Brilliant. Say it again, a bit louder. Wanted to hear more. So this is the place where you've got a bit of a mixed reception. And some did become Christians, although it's interesting here. It says only a few, whereas other places it sort of said a few more. But here, only a few became Christians, but some sneered, and others said, tell me more. So in Athens, remember, you got a split. This side was... This side was? Thank you very much. So in Athens, Paul. And the Athenians? Thank you very much. It was a bit of a mixed place, wasn't it? So, okay, let's see if we can get through it. All of our actions. Boys and girls, I do want to see you joining in with these actions if you can. So, are you ready? First place Paul went to, Thessalonica. Paul? The people? In Berea, Paul
preached.
The people
investigated.
In Athens, Paul
preached.
The people.
Paul.
Thank you very much. Now, we're going to see the point of this, what we're going to draw out of this, in just a moment. Now, you need to turn to another part of the Bible. And whoever's reading, Kate, excellent, thank you. If you would come up. So you need to turn to another part of the Bible. You need to turn to page 1197. Boys and girls, go for it. 2 Timothy chapter 4.
2 Timothy chapter 4.
Okay, and keep quiet about it. Okay, 1197. Okay, you get there. It's a bit tricky. I haven't found it yet. You got a fan. Excellent. Well done. Okay, so 1197. No, you're not found it? Okay. Keep looking, keep looking. You got it. Excellent. Okay, okay. Okay, shh. Now Kate's going to read.
I'm going to start. So 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all of the duties of your ministry.
Thank you.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kate. Okay, so this is a letter that Paul wrote. The Apostle Paul wrote it to a church leader to tell him what he needed to do. He wrote it to Timothy to say, this is your task, this is your job. And I'll put on the screen one of the verses, a couple of the verses. It says, in the presence of God. Now, this is a big thing, isn't it? This is a bit like if I would say to you, in the presence of your mum and dad, your head teacher, the queen, the most important people you can think of. But actually, it's even bigger than that, because Paul says, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead? So you can't get bigger than this. This is the big command Paul has for Timothy. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. This is what you're to do, Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Preach the word. Timothy, that's what you've got to do. Emmanuel Church, that's what we've got to do. Preach the word. But do you notice he says, preach the word in season and out of season. He says, whatever the season. Now, the seasons are funny things, aren't they? So sometimes you need an umbrella. Sometimes you need sun cream. It depends what the season is, doesn't it? What season are we in at the moment? I'm intrigued because some of the adults are confused.
Summer slash autumn.
I don't know. Can you have a slash? Hands up if you think it's summer. Oh, if you still think it's summer, the optimists. Who thinks it's autumn? Anyone going for winter? Oh, the pessimist. Anyone going for spring? Completely mad. You see, but the thing is, we don't control the seasons. You and I, we can't control the seasons. They're not in our hands. I can't make it summer tomorrow. If I could, I would. But I can't. I can't control the seasons. And Paul's saying to Timothy, Timothy, you can't control the season. But the season he means, he doesn't mean whether it's summer or winter. He means what goes on when you preach the word. He's saying, look, you can't control whether it's popular or not. You can't control whether you end up with riots or revival. You can't control, and Timothy, Paul showed this, didn't he? Because, here we go, when he went to Thessalonica, he
preached.
And the people?
Riot.
When he went to Berea, Paul
preached.
And the people?
Preached.
When he went to Athens, Paul
preached.
And the people?
Preached.
Yeah, so there was a different response everywhere he went, but Paul still preached. He just preached and preached. And actually he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, you preach. And this is a command for us. This isn't just about preaching from the front. It's about us taking the message to people where we are, in our workplaces, in schools, with our family, with our friends, that we take the message. But what we can't control is how they will respond. Yes, we've got to try to do it persuasively. Paul tried to persuade the people. He went in the synagogues and he reasoned with them. And he said, look in the Bible, this is what it says. He tried to persuade them, plead with them to say, actually turn to Christ. But he couldn't control their response. And neither can we. So what makes a successful church? Is a successful church one where there's revival? Well, it might be. Is it one where there's a riot? Might be. Because the season doesn't determine whether you're a successful church. You could decline in numbers and still be a successful church, because success is whether you're faithful to God in preaching about Jesus, that he is Lord, that he is judge, that he is our Saviour, come to rescue us. Are we faithful to that? Are we faithful to that when we're talking to our friends? You see, it's not a failure. You've not failed if you've been trying for years and years with family members or friends to talk to them about Jesus and they just haven't responded. You've tried all you can. You've tried to be persuasive. You've tried to be gentle. You've tried to be loving. You've tried to do it over and over again, and yet they haven't responded. In fact, they've been a bit negative. You've not failed. Keep going. What's going to be a success for Emmanuel at four? You see, the temptation will be that in a few weeks' time, what's the question that people are going to want to ask? The people we're going to want to ask, how many? How many people came along? Maybe in 6 months' time, how many have become Christians? How many in a year's time? That's going to be our temptation, and we'll think, maybe that's the success. When loads of people come along, well, that would be successful. But actually, that's the season. We pray for a good season. We pray that there'll be loads of people who'll come along, who'll hear about Jesus and believe. But we can't control that. But we can control preaching, speaking to people about Jesus. That's what makes a church successful. So what we should ask is, did you preach Christ? Did you speak about Jesus faithfully? And if we do that, that is something to celebrate. Actually, if people come along and believe, we should celebrate that as well. But that's not the mark of success. The mark of success is, have we preached the word? So we've got to imitate Paul. Because wherever Paul went, Paul
preached.
Thank you, very on the ball there. Wherever Paul went, he preached. And that's our job too. And we leave the response to God. But we pray that both in the afternoon and in the morning, in the children's ministry and with the adults, that we will preach faithfully and that God will bring fruit, but the fruit is in God's hands. So children's leaders, home group leaders, all of us, our job is to preach Christ. And there can be nothing better than to preach Christ, because he is the glory of God. He is the judge over all. He is the greatest person who has ever lived. He is our Saviour, our rescuer, our judge and our Lord. And it is him that we will preach. And we leave the response to God. So let's pray now. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, please would you help us to be faithful to you in our conversations with people, at church, with our 10:30 service, with Emmanuel at 4. Father, please would you help us to be faithful in preaching the word, preaching about Christ, no matter what the response, whether there's riots or revival, whether people love it or are apathetic. Father, please would you help us to be faithful. Amen.